Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Hi, what's up, everybody? I'm Ron Swanson, and welcome back to the Sean Atwood channel. I am here with Eileen McCusick, and we're going to be going through aura healing, how quantum science ties into all of this, and really what that means, right? Because I'm sure a lot of us are going to be learning stuff today, and I'm one of them. So I'm really interested to hear all about it. But Eileen, tell us a little bit about yourself, and thank you so much for being here.
Yeah, thanks, Sean. Well, let's see. I am a sound therapist, among many things. Mostly I'm a researcher, and I've been studying the effects of audible sound on the human body since 1996. And in the course of that, made a lot of curious and interesting discoveries that led me to go back to school as an adult to understand the science behind the phenomena that I was observing. And I graduated with my master's in 2012 and actually just went back to work on my PhD currently.
Wow, that's really impressive. So when you started noticing the data appearing, like, let's go back to the beginning and let's sort of paint a little road here, because I imagine it must have blown your mind to begin with, right? You must have been like, this can't be right. Like how thorough was your, I'm going to debunk myself, because I imagine it was thorough, right?
It was very thorough. Yeah, you're the first person that's ever asked me that. Yeah, I spent 15 years debunking myself, honestly. Yeah.
that's even more impressive, because 15 years of chipping away and chipping away and retrying and really whittling it down to what we're going to talk about today, it really backs up for anyone who's new to all this, skeptical, on the fence, whatever we want to describe some people. I think it really helps solidify the work that you're doing. So, so take us back to the beginning and just sort of take us on a journey up to where we are now, and then we can go through our main topic, if that's okay with you, Eileen.
Absolutely. Well, back in the mid-90s, I became interested in health and human potential, science and spirituality, started reading a whole bunch of books, which led me to vibrational medicine. And I came to vibrational medicine after uncovering the illusion of solidity, that everything appears solid, but it's really waves in space, that everything is fundamentally waves in space. And so if I'm just a packet of energy, information, and vibration, then treating vibration with vibration just seemed very logical to me. And at the time, I went out and I bought all the books I could find on vibrational medicine, on the use of color and sound and music and healing. And there weren't a lot back then. There was way, way, way more now. And I went through them all, made sense to me. I'm always looking for what's logical, what makes sense, what hangs together. And as I got through that stack of books, I got a catalog in the mail that had a set of tuning forks for healing in it. And I just ordered them on impulse. And at the time, I was doing massage therapy part-time. And I had some clients that I felt comfortable asking them to be guinea pigs. And I just started experimenting. So many people come to me and say, I have tuning forks, but I don't know what to do with them. I didn't know what to do with them either, but I'm very much a scientist by nature, and I'm always happy to experiment and make observations. And what I observed right off the bat were several things that really surprised me. One was that I thought that a tuning fork would just make an objective sound, that it would be sort of a C would sound like a C, and it would be an objective input that I could use. But what I discovered immediately was that as I moved the tuning fork around the body into different places, it would sound different. And so I started telling people this, and they said, oh, that's just the Doppler effect. That's room acoustics, which is something I very much understand. Mm-hmm. But what I was observing was something very different than that. I remember very early on, I had a gentleman who came in, and he was complaining that he had pain in his shoulder. And when I held the tuning fork over the shoulder that had pain, it went very sharp. And he could hear it and I could hear it. And I'd hold it over his other shoulder and it just sounded like a C. And I'd come back and it would sound sharp. So I just kept holding the fork where it sounded atonal. And after just a little while, it sounded like the other shoulder. And he got up off the table and he rotated his arm and he said, "Wow, all that pain is gone." And we were both stunned because neither one of us expected anything. And then I also made this other curious discovery that when I passed the fork over the body in different areas, some places it would go very loud, some places it would go very soft, some places it would sound like it was full of static. But I discovered that if it sounded loud, that felt like that there was more energy there, for lack of a better phrase at that time.
Sure.
And the tuning fork set that I got was for the chakras. Now, chakras are something that many of us have been trained to sort of dismiss skeptically, but every place that there is a chakra, there is a nerve plexus. So there is more electrical activity in the areas where there are chakras to be noted. And I decided that if a chakra was an energy center, it should probably sound loud over the center and not off on the periphery. And I made this very curious discovery that I could actually take a tuning fork and I could move loud spots. And I developed this little technique I called click, drag, and drop. And it's very much the same kind of motion. Like I would sort of click on it and then I would drag it and then I would drop it. And then it wouldn't be loud where it was. Previously, it would be loud in the middle. And then afterwards, people would say things to me like, "I feel very centered." And so that was very curious, right? There's two things, like how and why is the sound changing? What's making it do that? And how and why is a tuning fork moving energy? Like, how on earth is that possible, right? So it was very strange. And I was in Connecticut, and this was the 90s. And when I told people I was doing sound healing with tuning forks, I got dismissed pretty much by everyone, very backhandedly, very skeptically. Because I get it. Like, it sounds, you know, somebody said to me once, of all the woo-woo things out there, what you do comes across as the most woo-woo. And that kind of perception made it something that I did not want to do.
I don't know if Eileen is... she's back. Sorry, you froze a little bit there for a second, Eileen. I do apologize.
All right, here we are. I did it as a hobby for 10 years, just because it was so curious and interesting. And then one day in 2006, I accidentally discovered a loud spot about 2.5 feet away from someone. Very randomly ended up sort of away from their body, combing in with the field, found a loud spot. Now, this was a really interesting case because the woman was complaining that she had this pain in her jaw, down her neck and her shoulder, and a sense of pulling. And she'd been to see many different providers and no one had been able to help her. And so when I found this loud spot floating 2 feet off of her neck, I was a bit perplexed about what to do with it. But I'd been bringing everything to the midline. Like, that was the sort of practice I developed, was just finding loud spots and dragging them to the midline. And so I did that, and very curious feeling, like felt like it got sucked into her neck. And she called me the next day and she said, "Eileen, all of that pain and pulling is gone." And so that got me really intrigued about what else might be going on around the body. And so the next people who came in, I started investigating, just combing the tuning fork very slowly through the biofield, which is the phrase I use now, but I did not have then. And I discovered all kinds of things. In fact, over the next 4 years, I actually mapped this field and I discovered that it had this whole topography that was sort of hidden in plain view. And it's called the biofield anatomy map. And I talk about it in both of my books, that there's a whole physiology and anatomy in the magnetic field. And precisely what I was finding were memories. They were very specific memories and they were laid out in a very specific way. So we've all been taught to think that our memories are in our brain. But what I was finding them in standing waves in this sort of cloud storage around our body. And that when people had had particularly traumatic incidences, those areas within their field produced very large amounts of distortion. And in time, I learned to understand the language of vibration. I learned that every particular emotion has a specific frequency signature. It's kind of like music. When a sad memory sounds kind of like a sad song, anger is evocative of the feeling of anger, frustration, hopelessness, despair. They all have particular sounds that they make. Also, that every pathology had a specific frequency signature. And I learned to be able to diagnose if something was a pulled muscle or a fatty liver or an arthritic joint, because it would always sound the same. It's sort of based on how ultrasound or sonar or radar or my favorite new thing, LIDAR, works, where you bounce sound off of something and it comes back with information.
It makes sense, right? It does. It makes sense, you know? Even with things like, you know, when people are doing echo, like some animals that echolocate when the sound goes out, and it defines their surroundings. So, I hear you. Yeah, it's fascinating. Carry on.
Yeah. So in 2010, after I'd kind of completed the mapping of the field, I had a group of clients and friends that pretty much bullied me into teaching them how to do it. And I wasn't sure if I could teach. In fact, one of my brothers said to me, he said, "Eileen, can other people do what you're doing?" And I said, "Well, I don't know, but we'll find out." And what I found out was that they could comb the fork through the field, find distortions, stay there. And basically what this revealed to me is that the human body is a self-tuning instrument and that we're designed to be in harmony, but we're fundamentally, many of us, like magnificent Stradivariuses that have been terribly mishandled. And we're just really out of tune. And some of our strings are too tight from different traumas that we've had. Some are too loose. And that this just, it shows up in our voice. It shows up in our life. And that simply by finding these areas of incoherence in the magnetic field gave the body an opportunity, just like looking at yourself in a mirror, right? If you haven't seen yourself in a mirror in a while and you get to one and your hair is a mess, you see it in your teeth, your first instinct is to bring yourself to order. And so it's the same with our body's organizing intelligence. When it hears itself producing a dissonant sound and it's given a mirror, the reflection of the atonal quality is given a metronome. It's got a steady rhythm to balance itself against. And then it's like a magnet in that I'm able to actually move the magnetic field, do magnetic field adjustments. Because when we have trauma, we tend to go into a contraction and a freeze. Very often that compression stays there. And we end up with all of these patterns of subconscious tension that inhibit flow and stop our body from self-repairing. So this is a process of providing the body with a feedback loop to relax and tune itself and bring itself back into a state of flow.
Yeah. And when you described the click, drag, and drop, right, you can kind of imagine how that would all go together. And when this all started to make sense to you, and you know, you started trying to see if it was something everyone can do, like how validating was all of that for how many years you've been putting into this to see this concept grow with all of this evidence to back it up? Because I think, especially in 2026, I think people are 100% dialing into anything but big pharma that they can get their hands on. And so often we hear the word frequency being used. And it kind of solidified for me when I seen a guy playing a didgeridoo, you know, the big long tube.
Oh, yeah.
And they put a pebble in the end of the didgeridoo. And about a centimeter outside of this didgeridoo, this little pebble was just floating in the vibration of the didgeridoo, right? So in my brain, I'm just like, well, you scale that up and you can move a 10-ton block, right? And that was when, like, the true power of frequency. And then you look at the experiment with the sand on a plate of metal, and we used to run a violin bow down it at school, and it would go into a shape, right?
Cymatics.
Right. And I think people really lose faith in things when they don't match the Hollywood standard of out with the norm. You know, they want to see light shooting out your hands in order to know you're healing me. Do you see what I mean? And it's the simplicity of a lot of this. Do you feel like you're up against the mindset that a tuning fork won't help me when it comes to the average person?
Sure. I mean, I even felt that way. You know, there's something about the word tuning fork that just sets off people's woo bells and skepticism. Yeah. And it did the same thing for me. I mean, I spent years combing through the field, finding memories, being able to determine what age they were, what was involved, very specific information, because it was all just encoded there in this very pure language of vibration. What I came to understand from a physics perspective is that magnetic fields actually guide and inform electric currents. So that by manipulating the magnetic field, I was changing the way electricity was running through the body. But that took me a long time to understand. So there were many years when I had no idea what was happening, and not being able to apply a scientific framework to it, and not really having many other people doing it, made me very skeptical of myself. I was like, what is going on? Is this really working? Is this really helping people? But people kept coming back to me and telling me my anxiety is less, my digestion is better, my pain has gone away, my fibromyalgia has tamed down. So my whole practice grew from word of mouth, from people having really beneficial outcomes. And then when I started training students, and at this point, I have a team of teachers, we've trained over 4,000 people worldwide who have had the experience, had the effects, are able to read the field, are able to work with the map. And of course, now, like you say, many people are talking about frequency, but I've been doing this for 30 years. So it took a while. Right. For the rest of the world to kind of catch up and become hip to the fact that sound works. But I do want to make it clear that I'm not really a healer, and that the tuning fork doesn't really heal you. Like, all healing is self-healing. I help you to get yourself in better order with coherent sound. You're the one doing the healing. You're the one putting yourself in order. You're the one remembering your harmony. I'm just a technician. I'm finding the areas in your field that are in distortion because of patterns of tension. And then I just stay there while your body sorts it out.
Yeah. I imagine it like I'm in a sailboat, right? And I'm in control of that boat. And along comes the tuning fork as a gust of wind that just assists in my journey, right? I kind of pair that up well with, I'm a master of really dumb analogies that make things make sense for me. Eileen, I'm sorry. But I imagine it is like that, because what you're saying is it's people's willing and belief and intent in what's happening to them. And it's also their belief in that they can self-heal. And again, when we start saying stuff like that, people again start having these little things going off in their head. Well, if it was that simple, we would all be doing it, right? But it is that simple. It's the brainwashing that we've all been indoctrinated into for generations that makes us think that this is any different from blinking. But when you don't know that these things are possible, you're void of being able to use them, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, we've definitely been brainwashed. And this whole idea that the body has an electrical system, which is really what this revealed to me, that the body has electric current running through it. Anything that has electric current running through it has a magnetic field around it. What's the energy in energy medicine? It's electricity. What's the aura? It's your magnetic field. Like, that's pretty obvious and pretty simple. And yet somehow we've been managed to be convinced that it's not so. But there was an understanding of the electrical nature of the body in the late 1800s. You could buy devices for your electric health in the Sears and Roebuck catalog in the late 1800s and the early 1900s. And they were using frequency and sound and awareness of the electrical current in the body for, well, sound has been used forever, right? I mean, the didgeridoos, they think, might be 40,000 years old. I've received didgeridoo healing. It's pretty darn cool. But the whole aim of using sound to remedy is ancient and been present in every single culture. And one of the things that I also uncovered that helped solve a lot of the mystery was realizing that sound actually does produce an electromagnetic wave. It creates movement in our atmosphere. Our atmosphere is a weak plasma, and therefore it really does move charge. I've written entire papers on the electromagnetic nature of sound at this point, and often encounter skeptics who want to insist that it's just a pressure wave, but it's so much more than that. And cymatics really reveals the geometry that is present in sound.
Right. And I people don't often think that the effect that all of this has on our physical makeup. And, you know, so why is it, right, when we hear a frequency that has a negative impact on us, right, like a high-pitched tone coming from like an old appliance in a house, we are so dialed into how harmful it is, and oh, it annoys me, and I've got such a belief that that's where my headache's coming from. But the minute is anything positive about anything, we just stand there and go, nah, can't be that. It can't possibly be. It's becoming so prevalent in all these interviews that I'm doing that we are just void of belief in ourselves. And it's not even like, we don't even notice it. It's not even going, oh, I have no belief in myself, so I'm not going to believe in myself. It's hardwired in like blinking, and it should be the other way around.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely brainwashing and programming for sure. Because we have been conditioned into this chemical, mechanical, mechanistic framework of looking at life and our bodies and our health. And therefore, obviously, you need drugs or surgery to correct any problems that you have in your physical meat suit. But then at the same time, we'll say, oh, we recognize that an electron is 99.99% empty space. And I don't even agree with that. I think it's 100% empty space, that there is no stuff, that stuff is an artifact of human perception, and that fundamentally everything is waves. Well, there's so many ways that we use it in the current lexicon without being aware of it. Like, we talk about going to the beach or to the forest to recharge. You go into an ionized environment that is feeding your body's electrical system. We talk about getting good vibes or bad vibes off people, but then can't accept that a tuning fork might actually intersect those vibes and provide us information about what's there. So we also, I think everybody in a way is a sound therapist, a music therapist to themselves. Most people have musical playlists and they use music to shift their state. So there is an understanding underneath the programming and brainwashing that most people are availing themselves to in one way or another.
Yeah. Well, I think a lot of people are starting to wake up to it now, finally. Now, when it comes to the science of all this and the evidence and it all being backed up, how quickly have you seen this sort of grow? Are you seeing the modern sort of awakened and movement that sort of took place? Well, it's really snowballing in 2026. Do you feel like this is where it's walking hand in hand and is really starting to solidify all the validation you've worked towards? Because I tell you this right now, I'm definitely going to be trying this. Okay, like I've got some little pains and things like this. I can give this a bash. Do you know what I'm saying? This is the one type of medical thing where I can probably not end up injuring myself trying, because it all makes sense to me. Everything you've said, it completely lines up with how you would imagine it being. And when you talk about the, you know, how matter acts as waves, and am I not right in saying that stuff only actually acts the way that I think it's going to act when we're observing it? And when we're not observing it, it completely does something different, right? It's the quantum science conundrum of the double slit experiment. Is that what it's called?
Mm-hmm. No, or the observer effect.
The observer effect.
Observed. Absolutely. You know, we exist in the space between each other, and we all bring out different things in each other based on expectations. Many people find they go home to their families, and because their family still sees them as a kid, they start acting like a kid again. You know, that sort of thing. by our perception and our observation, we are absolutely informing reality, also based on our beliefs. You know, whatever we believe is going to inform what we see, what we perceive, how we respond to it. So, but regarding people becoming more open, you know, there's a couple different things going on here in my work. One is therapeutic sound, and whether that's with tuning forks or singing bowls or gongs or bells, what have you, there's really been a huge rise in that. And I think that's because you do experience a state change when you are subjected to coherent sound. I would say the aim of sound intervention is to help you to relax, to become more present, to become more alert, to become more curious, to quiet the mind, which is really an epidemic problem in our culture, is that most people are just getting spun out by their own mental bodies and their thoughts. And so anything that we can experience that brings us into an alpha brainwave state, a listening state, is going to benefit us. So I think we've seen a really big uptick in the acceptance of sound healing because it really does change people's state and bring about a more welcome state. But then also this whole idea of the body as electric. Robert O. Becker wrote a couple books in the 80s called, one was called The Body Electric and one was called Cross Currents. And in these books, he talks about the body having an electrical system. But practically nobody kind of picked up and carried his research. So that by the time in 2009, when it started to dawn on me that the body had an electrical system, like that was really far from my mind because it wasn't anywhere. Right? We just didn't see it anywhere. We're so programmed to think that any electrical activity in the body is arising from chemistry. But that does not appear to be the case. Our heartbeat is electric, mm-hmm. and our brainwaves are electric. Our blood right. carries charge, our fascia and our collagen are all semiconductors. There is light information and electricity flowing through us all the time. And we either have good solid voltage and not a lot of resistance in our wiring. You know, what I talked about earlier regarding tension is I've really come to the conclusion that just about everything that we suffer from is based in patterns of tension that is inhibiting electrical flow, fluid flow, fascia movement, mental acuity. It's all just the pressures of life that have compressed and compacted us and caused us to create all of this resistance in our electrical flow. So our breathing is shallow, our energy is low, we have brain fog. But this is all electrical, an electrical issue, not a chemical issue. And when we start addressing health at the level of the electrical system, it becomes a lot easier to solve problems because the chemistry is downstream of the physics, the movement, the electrical current.
I see. One thing I wanted to ask you about, this came up last night and somebody just mentioned about stress in the side chat, reaffirming it all. And have you seen sound therapy and how, you know, have a healing effect, when it comes to people who have suffered from majorly high stress levels, like the danger levels of stress level? And is there a difference between somebody who has a high pressure job and the stress that goes with that and somebody who suffers from perhaps a different form of stress where it's not occupationally inherited? Is there a difference, and what's the outcomes?
Well, it's interesting. In my first book, I came across this definition that I included about the trying to define stress was like trying to nail a piece of jelly to a tree. And so that's made me contemplate, you know, how can you really describe what stress is? And I would say stress is pressure. So I have this little torus model. So our biofield, if you will, our bioelectrical system appears to be shaped like a torus. And in this model, the body is actually inside the torus. The body is inside the mind, because I would say that your biomagnetic field is what we would call your mind, your sense of self, your sense of I. It's your conscious mind. It's your subconscious mind. It's where all your memories are stored, as I found out in the field. And so we are essentially a bubble. And when a bubble gets pressure on it, it squishes everything, right? So things get squished. Even the CDC says that 85% of disease is caused by stress, by pressure. And that's not so much the pressure that's the problem, because we need to have some pressure in life. But it is how we are responding to it. It's more our stress response than the stress itself. How resilient are we? How able are we to take the squish and bounce back? How emotionally skilled or aware are we? How good are we at flowing around? It's really more than anything, it seems to be emotional management skills and our ability to to be resilient in the face of pressures. So I would say that our nervous system, our history, and the patterns within our body, when we were talking about the observer effect, right? That whatever is going on in your body and your electrical system and your history is going to continue to generate the experiences that you're having. Like, it's not the other way around. Like we've been taught like, oh, when I finally get to a place where like the mortgage is paid off and the kids are in college and I, you know, this, that, and the other, then I'm going to be able to relax. But a relaxed system will generate relaxed experiences. A relaxed system will come up with resilient ways of managing difficult situations, right? You can take two people and put them in the same stress. And one that has emotional intelligence, resourcefulness, resiliency, a sense of humor, is going to find their way through that situation very differently than someone who is harboring a lot of tension and collective stress, right? Their ability to be resilient, to think clearly, to respond appropriately is diminished due to their life experiences up to that point.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Okay. And
so, just to finish, to answer your question, is that I'll just give an example. One of the techniques that we do in this work is called an adrenal rhythm reset. And when people get really stressed and they're chronically stressed, they start running on adrenaline, which means the rhythm of their adrenal starts to tick up and run faster. And then that just leads to more of the same. And I was one of those people. I'm sort of like a chronic overdoer, like many people in our culture, and had worked myself. My practice had become so busy that I was just trying to see everybody and take care of everyone. And I had chronic mid-back pain. I was bumping around in the bottom of my tank. And I had trained an apprentice to do this adrenal rhythm reset on me. And 3 sessions of getting my adrenal rhythm entrained back into its factory setting. And then my whole life changed, because suddenly I'm meeting life with a different rhythm, with a different outlook. I've been settled down from stress, and I started to perceive other ways that I could work in my life that were not back feeding into that stress signal. So by changing my inner landscape, it allowed me to change my outer landscape. And so I would say very, very much this work helps to literally change your life, because it shifts the rhythmic relationships in your body and how you are encountering and dealing with stress.
Yeah. Now, there's frequencies, right, that we can hear and frequencies we can't hear, right? And I know this might sound like a really dumb question, but have you had any experience using frequencies that are beyond our scope of hearing? Or is that a stupid question because you wouldn't be able to hear the results of them? And if you can't hear the results of them, is there a way of measuring the results of them? It just, I don't know why I'm asking you that, but it just seems interesting that you're affected so much by frequency. And someone like you, who's a nice lady, using her powers for the good of mankind, there's a lot of evil overlords that have been around for centuries that 100% do not want people like you making this mainstream, okay? Because, you know, you can teach it, right? That's not a good sellable, you know, marketable business plan for them. Do you feel like the use of your positive frequencies walks hand in hand with the possibility of evil frequencies being used upon us? And how prevalent do you think the opposite end of your work is in daily life for people?
When I was doing research for my master's thesis between 2010 and 2012, I found very little published research on the effects of sound on the human body and mind, like surprisingly little. And after a while, it occurred to me that all of that research was being done by things like DARPA, you know, that it was absolutely being used for manipulation, mind control.
Do you know who else was investing heavily in sound therapy for babies? Came out in the Epstein files that was one of the sciences Epstein was funding, was sound therapy and how to, I'm not going to say heal, manipulate the mind, the body with it all. And again, when we have billionaires, regardless of whether they're evil or not, billionaires are about making money and pushing things forward the majority of the time. And when you see someone like Epstein investing in sciences that line up with things like MKUltra, mm-hmm. using tones and frequencies for mind controls, it must make you feel like, well, it must drive you to want everyone to know what you know. It really must, because it's one less weapon against us, right? We've gained an arrow in our quill, so to say.
Mm-hmm. I think that
a
big part of the work that I do and the intention behind it is that as we improve our signal to noise ratio, we get all the noise of the bad programming, the trauma, the ancestral trauma, what has been put in us subconsciously from television, from radio, from the airwaves. And we start to become more of a pure human tonally, then it's a lot easier to connect to the cosmos, to God, if you will, to nature, to the true signal that all of nature operates in, that bandwidth that really doesn't have noise. Once we're able to really connect in that way to that larger signal beyond us, it gives us a way to retain our own agency, our own sovereignty, our own signal, regardless of what man-made influences might be being directed at us. So that's the ultimate medicine in this, is to help you to tune into the true signals that are present, to keep your antenna aligned to that. Because it's very easy to be manipulated, even by your old refrigerator, right? Can drive you mad.
A ticking clock can drive me mad.
I think that ability to stay in that clarity, that harmony, that essential underlying true vibration of what it means to be a human in this realm is really where is our armor of God, if you will, because there is increasing evidence of manipulation of the airwaves. And even just being exposed to your Wi-Fi is negatively impacting your mitochondria.
Yeah.
So the more that you can be in this tuned state, the more your instrument is tuned, the more resilient you are to the audible and inaudible noise pollution that we're suffused with.
Yeah. And it's interesting when you look at how much wirelessness has come into the world over the last few years, you know, almost needlessly. If adding multiple wireless charging ports in a house is going to send out multiple more frequencies, great for them, bad for us, right? And this is going to sound a bit odd too. Is there any kind of evidence for defensive frequencies? You know, maybe with your sound bowls, maybe that's what the whole shtick of the sound bowls is to create this healing and defensive frequencies outward. But I feel like they're more controlled, right? Because you're using, what's the wee wooden thing you use for the sound bowls? There we go. Because it's more like an instrument, if you see what I mean, than a tuning fork, I would imagine, right? Where you've got a little bit more control over what you're doing. I mean, don't get me wrong. I imagine if you've got multiple tuning forks, you can become a tuning fork master, right? But is there a difference in how things are projected between the two types of tool that you're using for the healing?
Well, a tuning fork is really precise. You know, I'm going to go in and find a very specific memory that happened when you were
five. It's the surgical.
It's surgical, right? Whereas a bowl is more ambient.
Yeah.
And I personally don't use bowls. I'm a bit of a tumbleweed, and I like my tools to fit in my backpack.
It makes sense.
But as far as your question of frequencies being defensive, I would say that our best defense, if you will, is being coherent, is having our own system be like a well-tuned orchestra that's all playing the same sheet music. Because the more coherent and orderly we are inside, the more resilient we are, the more we can snap back into ourself when bombarded with something that is not self. So I would say that your best defense in this increasingly sonically chaotic environment is doing what fosters coherence in your body, mind, and spirit.
Interesting.
And that's what the sound tools do. I mean, that is really the tuning forks I find where you're incoherent and stay there until your body becomes coherent. It's actually incredibly simple. And incredibly honoring of the magnificence of the machinery of our own human bodies, that we've been really taught to outsource our health and our well-being.
Everything. Yeah,
everything.
Faith, your belief, all of it is outsourced.
All of it is outsourced. And, you know, even people who are more alternative minded might go see somebody who's got a $30,000 machine that's going to read your vibration and then give you the vibrations you're missing, but you are still outsourcing that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've found that the human voice is better than any $30,000 machine. And part of the work that I do is also with toning. And I've co-created a sonic anatomy as well, and discovered that different sounds resonate in different parts of the body. And just by, you know, if you have liver congestion, if you have skin issues, if you've got digestive issues, it's very likely that your liver is under functioning. If you had a dad who was a raging alcoholic or someone who was dangerous, you're going to pull in your body very specifically around the area of the liver as it relates to the biofield anatomy. That tension in your liver is going to inhibit its functioning. And it's also going to be hearable in your voice when you sound the word pa. So I invite people to bring their consciousness down into their liver and just make the sound pa. And very often what will happen is that sound will come out something like pa, right? And that's like the $30,000 machine telling you that you've got liver congestion. But if you just keep using your voice and sounding in there and using that feedback loop, then you will use your voice to relax and to open and to strengthen that whole area. I've actually really come to the conclusion that the most powerful tool we have for our own healing is literally right under our nose.
Yeah, it's again interesting. The outsourcing analogy is so true across the board. What would you feel is the most commonly misconstrued thing when it comes to clients and people that you're interacting with? What is the most common misconception about everything that you've developed?
Well, there's different levels of that, right? One is that it's complete new age hippy dippy nonsense. Understandable.
Or is it super old age?
Well, it is that too.
Like, this is the thing, right? It's
that there might have been tuning forks used in ancient Egypt, right? But you know, fundamentally, a tuning fork is simply an acoustic tone generator. That's all that it is. It's just generating an acoustic tone. It's not so different from a triangle. You know, if I'm banging on a triangle, is that hippy dippy nonsense? No, it's just
sound. Have you tried to repeat your science with no human contact with the tuning fork.
How or have you, I tried to repeat it with no human
contact? No, have you? No, so for example, your patient's lying down and the tuning fork's being held by something that isn't a human connection to it. I wonder how the science would work if you remove the human connection from the source of the sound or what's producing it. You have. How did the science match up?
So that was very interesting. We mounted the tuning fork on a swing arm.
I just had to ask.
I've done a lot of experiments. I've worked with a lot of devices. You know, I'm curious, right? Like I'm not trying to sell anybody anything.
No, I get you.
I'm just like, whoa, this is really weird.
People that don't try and debunk themselves tend to have agendas. Do you see what I'm saying? There's incredible development that comes from trying to prove yourself wrong, if that makes sense. I fully believe it. Yeah.
And really to understand, I mean, I've really been driven by a genuine curiosity and a desire to understand what's happening. Because I like language and I like science. And so it's been an interesting journey of really lots of experimenting in lots of different ways. I have several published peer review papers as well. And definitely more to come now that I'm working on my PhD. But when we put the tuning fork, when we mounted it to the swing arm and we swung it in towards the body, we did hear the overtone changes, but we didn't hear the volume changes, which I found really interesting. I was like, because when I'm going through the field and I'm holding onto it, my own electromagnetic system is present. I'm an observer. I'm interacting. I'm connected to the whole thing. It's very easy to hear where something goes really soft. Like if we hit something in somebody's timeline where they almost died, the signal goes really weak and the fork gets really quiet.
Have you ever tried it with you having the same ailment as the person that you're like, if you have a sore shoulder and they have a sore shoulder and you do it, is there any difference in the way the sound reacts or goes up and down or anything like that?
Yeah, no, that's a really great question. So I think part of the volume increasing and decreasing also has to do with the resonance of the observer, of the practitioner.
Right. Well, that's what I'm thinking, right?
Mm-hmm. Because my body goes into sympathetic resonance. So a lot of how I can tell what is wrong with someone is that my body will start hurting in that place because I become a sympathetic.
Coming into tune with it. Okay.
Yeah. Especially if it's a place where I've previously had an injury or an ailment where that's also in my record. You know, I've observed this, like if a practitioner was raped when they were 17 and then their client was raped when they were 17, right? Then you get this resonance. And amplification. And so different things will present with different practitioners. For example, if that person on the table was raped when they're 17, but they're being worked on by a man who doesn't understand any of this, that memory might not even present itself. It might not get loud. It might not get sticky. It might just get glossed over. Because you think about all the things that happen in a lifetime. One-hour session, you're only going to encounter particular memories, particular areas, right? And the more sympathetic resonance you have to that particular incident in them, the stronger that signal will be due to this mutual amplification that happens. Hmm. Yeah.
That's wild.
Yeah. So on the swing arm, there was no volume change at all.
There was no volume change at all. Yeah. So what does that tell us about us and our involvement in, because electricity likes a circuit, right? Like a closed circuit. Like I'm too dumb to try and fully work out what all this means, but that is so fascinating to me that the absence of yourself created a different result. It really does. Cause I mean, I'm hard sold on it anyway. So it's really is fascinating. What's the one thing that stood out for you? What was your big, like, oh my God moment throughout your career with this, other than like discovering all this?
Yeah. Well, discovering all of it was, you know, it's sort of like this blind fumble in the dark with these momentary flashes of illumination where I would see a pattern and then it all started to come together. Right. It was definitely took years for the whole thing to kind of come together and form a workable hypothesis. But I think the biggest thing that really surprised me was that I think we've all been taught more than anything that were not worthy. And really at the kernel of every dysfunction that I've uncovered in anyone, in pain, sometimes struggle, whatever, was a belief that they weren't good enough. And so I think that's really like been saturated into all of our minds, that we're not good enough, that we're not enough.
Yep.
And so what I found was when I got the noise out of the signal, when I amplified the true tone, when I brought that Stradivarius back into tune, that really without exception, like everyone was beautiful and brilliant and gifted and amazing, like stunningly so. Like, and you can really hear the sounds of people's souls. There's this extraordinary beauty and greatness in being human. And we have been made to feel so ashamed of ourselves and to not believe in ourselves. Mm-hmm. I would say, and I understand how hard that is because
centuries of burning people like you and me at the stake will do that to the
human condition. Exactly. You know what I mean?
Like it's like, okay, we better not think or do this because fire is
exactly
stingy.
There's very good reason for it, right? But I remember one day, you know, after seeing a bunch of people all day and reflecting on how great everyone was, that it dawned on me. I was like, oh my God, if everyone is great and amazing, that means I must be too. And that was like a surprisingly hard pill to swallow. And it just made me realize like how conditioned we've been to deny our own greatness and amazingness. The human body is extraordinary. We're incredible hardware. And we've been downloaded with like really junk software and really nonsense beliefs.
That's a great analogy.
Yeah. And there's so much more to being human and such beauty actually in the human spirit. So I think that is really what surprised me the most because life out there obscures it. But seeing and hearing it with my own ears, my own eyes again and again and again, you know, really revealed that you're not broken and you're not bad. You've just been programmed badly and fed a lot of lies and poisons and mind control. But if we can get free of that and really restore ourselves back to ourselves, I think there's very much hope for humanity.
Oh, 100%. Now, in the few minutes we've got left, what would be your advice to people? What can people do to start to tune themselves in, for lack of a better terminology? What would your advice be to people who want to, you know, they want to have a little dabble and see what they can do with a bit of a positive mindset? What would be your mind? Yeah. Positive healing, inner healing, self-healing.
Yeah.
What would be your...
There's lots of different levels to come in at, right? That there's just the simple, like paying attention to your self-talk and understanding that the words that you use around yourself are incredibly creative. What are you saying? How are you saying it? What kind of tone of voice are you using? Because healing starts with our thoughts and our voices, our mindset, and how that shapes and informs the water in our body, how electricity flows. Breathing, the more freely and fully you breathe, the more electrical charge you get into your electrical system. Most people, because of patterns of tension from trauma, breathe very shallowly or forget to breathe, right? So that's just the beginning, the simple. If you are curious about tuning forks, I make a very high quality, expensive line of tuning forks. They're therapeutic grade, but something as simple as sitting in meditation with something like a 222 hertz fork is such a, like, brings you to immediate quiet mind. It begins to immediately.
Nice. Body. That is nice. Uh-huh.
It just, it makes meditation so much easier, right? So that's one thing. I have a whole bunch of YouTube videos. I have a whole library of recorded tuning fork sessions.
Nice.
I think one of the best things you can do, you know, if this really jazzed you, is become a practitioner. Because being bathed in coherent sound all day helps you to feel more coherent. Truly helping other people to feel better helps you to feel more coherent. It's like creating a lifestyle where you train your mind into an alpha state to listen. And it's endlessly, endlessly fascinating. And it's super helpful. You know, we have people who have given up nursing licenses, who've given up acupuncture licenses, because they have found tuning to be more effective. It also supplements beautifully to any practice that you might already have. So there's really a very wide range of entry points to play with here. Also, my book, Tuning the Human Biofield, and Electric Body, Electric Health are good starting points just to kind of introduce the whole cosmology of the body's electrical system and how sound informs it.
Mm-hmm. Well, that you banging on that fork there was freaking wild. I mean, I was there. Like, it's exactly what you said, centering. I feel like I just got past the freaking medicinal cigarette. That's what I feel like. I just got hit.
It really is.
Like, yeah. I'm not being funny. It really is. So, yeah, I'm going to go and order some tuning forks and really, like, get to grips with this. And I think, you know, I might even have a look at what it takes to learn all this, because I feel like this is the one type of surgery I'm not really going to be, this is a safe zone for me. Do you know what I'm saying? A safe zone. It's incredible.
It's a really great tool to have. Like, I have a fork called a sonic slider, and it's a weighted fork. And I carry it in my bag everywhere I go. And, I might be sitting next to someone at a dinner party and their shoulder hurts. And
I get out of line, try to take your handbag, bosh, tune them out of the game.
Totally. Right. I can help people with headaches, first aid, to have a tool and a skill where you can help settle people down out of anxiety, get them out of pain, help them to regulate. You know, all the big buzz these days is like, regulate your nervous system. And that's exactly what this does. And it does it in very short order. If you get a bug bite or a cut and you put it on it, it helps the body order itself, heal itself more quickly.
Because I'm looking for new stuff, right?
Yeah.
So that I can't really injure myself too severely with. And this fits it all. This fits it all, because I would never see myself as a healer, but I can use a tool, right? I can learn how to use a tool. Do you see what I'm saying?
Totally.
And I can get behind that. So I'm telling you, maybe a couple of months, we'll get another conversation booked in, and I'll be like, right, this is what I've learned with this fork, because this is really exciting for me, Eileen. And, thank you so much for sharing all of this with us. And all your links are down in the description. And I imagine a lot of people are going to be clicking and going and just investigating more, because it is fascinating. And it's one of those things that has decades of evidence just in with yourself. And, you know, out of a lot of the stuff in this whole world, this seems like a great starting point for people. And when we talk about people's beliefs and their genuine belief in themselves, this is something that you can have a result with, you know. And I think humans make a lot more sense when it's human pickup object tool manifest result, rather than it being no, coming out of our own body. You know what I'm saying? Whatever we need to convince ourselves, all right, to get a job done. So it's fascinating, Eileen. Thank you so much for being here. And I look forward to talking to you again, because I'm going to go, going to go and play. Oh, one more stupid question, though. See if we got like a 12-foot one of those, right? And then just battered it. Like, what, has there been any experiments with massive tuning forks? Is it just a case of you'll just hear it further away, or could it affect a mass of people? Like, is there, like, because this is a dumb question. This is what the tuning fork's done to me. It's made me ask this.
Yeah. I mean, I think what comes to mind is bells, honestly.
Okay.
If you've done any of that research into the ancient bells and how there were massive bells and how there were bells everywhere that were tuned, a tuning fork is like a mini bell that you can use on yourself. I'm sure someone somewhere has constructed
that. Makes sense. That makes sense. It's the mini version that makes sense.
Yeah.
Or no, like, I'll do like a subscriber goal on my channel, and if we hit it, I'm building a massive tuning fork, and I want to see if we can like topple a tank over with it or something. I'm telling you, this is how we fight back against them, with a 65-foot tuning fork. Do you know what I'm saying?
Good vibes in a big way.
It's worth a try, right? It's worth a try. So listen, thank you so much for being here. And thank you to the mods. Thank you to everyone at home. Thank you to the Sean Atwood channel. We'll see you again very, very soon. And from me, Ron Swanson, as always, guys, be safe. Sorry, again, before we go, is there anything you want to tell us that you've got up and coming? Sorry, I beg your pardon.
What do I have up and coming? Well, I just had an album come out Yeah, of healing music, if you will, but it's rock and roll. It's not floaty new age stuff. It gets into the rub of emotional expression.
Sick.
And on my website, you can find on my YouTube channel, you can find the first track. It's called Embodiment. And I ran it through my cymoscope because I have a cymoscope. I'm studying patterns of sound. So I just invite people to check that out because it's really a lot more accessible than a tuning fork to just listen to some.
Well, I agree. And just ironically that you mentioned that tonight in about 2 hours, I'm dropping an 11-track concept album that I put together. Come and check it out over the Project Root channel. It's called I Know I Want to Know You All Over Again. And it's awesome. So come and check it. And thank you again for being here. And we'll see you all in the next one. Thank you again, Eileen. Peace.
Thank you. Cheers.